Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. The Library of American Broadcasting Foundation recently paid tribute to Patricia Smullen, affectionately known as Patsy, for her lifetime achievements. The 2024 Giants of Broadcasting Award Ceremony was held in New York City on November 12th. Patsy is the president and owner of KOBI-TV, NBC5, and KOTI-TV, NBC2. Patsy received her Giant in Broadcasting Award among other giants who were honored, like NBC's Today Show meteorologist Al Roker, ESPN analyst Stephen A. Smith, and two-time Tony and Emmy-winning actress Christine Baranski. 60 Minutes correspondent Bill Whitaker hosted the event, and Patsy joins us now on The Exchange. Welcome.
Thank you. Hi, Mike.
Hey, congratulations. It sounds like quite an experience.
It was fun. It was a real honor, and I was very pleased to be asked.
Well, talk about some of your most memorable moments from the award ceremony.
Well, it was intimidating to be with the group that you just mentioned, including actors. Bill Whitaker was a fantastic person to talk with, somebody who's been with 60 Minutes for as long as he has, I'm sure you have the same feelings I do. What a terrific newsman. And it's always wonderful to talk to somebody who you don't even have to check their sources. You know, they're telling you the truth about everything. And it was just wonderful to get to have conversations with those individuals. And, of course, Al Roker, I had done a half-hour show with years ago, and helping our viewers get to know him a little bit. And he's a very humble and funny and incredible guy. It's very interesting to see to see his background and how he got where he is today. So all of it, there were about 600 people there, and New York City in and of itself is always fun and interesting and exciting, so it was a great opportunity.
Well, you know, those are recognizable faces and voices that we have grown up with, but they're in front of the camera, and they wouldn't be there without people like you who actually create and steward these environments for, you know, on-air personalities. So talk about some of the work that you have done here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, and what led to this award?
Well, if you're asking how I got started doing these interviews, is that what you're asking?
Well, I tell you what, you have a giant name in this region, but for a lot of folks who don't know your story, take us back to your earliest influences. Let's go back to how'd you get started?
Well, I grew up in a broadcast family. My father went into newspaper and radio in the 30s and then to from radio to television in the 50s and in the 60s into cable television and then continued on with microwave and with digital and with social media and so his whole career was involved in pioneering those industries on the West Coast, and primarily in California and Oregon. So I grew up in that family. We spent a great deal of time at our radio and TV and newspaper facilities and cable, and it just was a part of everything going around us, and the biggest part was the importance of news in the communities that we lived in and served in.
So it's in your blood.
Oh, definitely.
What are some of the biggest challenges you faced along the way?
Well, certainly one of them was being a female, not in our company, because my dad had run radio stations during the war and ran them all with women only because the men weren't there. So he never had any concerns about what women could do or not do. But in the rest of the industry across the nation, it was a man's business. So that was always a challenge. I loved working with other broadcasters across the nation, so it didn't bother me much. All I cared about was getting the job done and working hard. That's what our company always did because we served small markets. And you may have the same bills as a NBC station in New York City, but you certainly don't have the same revenue. So money is always an issue, and you're always working very, very hard to make ends meet and still provide a good service to the communities you serve. Like JPR, we've been around a long time, and we have served the same arenas. Of course, you serve the world at this point, as we try to do as well, but serving Southern Oregon and Northern California, pretty much state capital has been your priorities, and that job, my father and the people running JPR, Ron Kramer, worked very hard to kind of serve the same areas, knowing that Southern Oregon and Northern California share a lot more than they don't share, and trying to make the communities they serve in better places to live and work. And you've done it, and we've certainly tried to do it.
Well, storytelling is a powerful medium for sure. It has great influence on our communities and the world. And technology has changed the way we tell stories. How has technology changed in your line of work?
It's changing all the time, and it changes everything we do. And obviously changes where the money goes. So the group that I never miss a meeting with is Monday morning, 9 o'clock, with all our engineers. And we've seen major changes just like you have and always will. It's just a little tougher for smaller markets.
That it is. My guest is Patsy Smullen. She's the president and owner of KOBI-TV NBC5 and KOTI-TV NBC2. Patsy was honored for her extraordinary lifetime achievements by the Library of American Broadcasting Foundation with a Giant in Broadcasting Award recently. So, Patsy, local media in general has diminished significantly over the past couple of decades, as you well know. How has the broadcast media changed over the past couple of decades?
Well, there's not a lot you recognize. Everything's changed. On the other hand, our philosophy is the same as it was in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now, in that our goal every day is to serve the communities that we operate in and to make sure that we're responding to those communities, those counties, of which there are many, in the best way that we can with whatever needs they have and with our boss is still the viewers and the clients telling us what they need and want in this area and what they want for their children and grandchildren. So our efforts are exactly what they were in the beginning, to pay attention to what they tell us and respond accordingly.
So what's been your strategy for success? I mean, you've had long-term success in broadcast media. What's your strategy?
That's it. Paying attention to all these communities, listening to them, whether it be through radio, having them, we still hear from every day across many, many counties, telling us what they want to know more about, telling us what they think we're doing right, what they think we're doing wrong. That's the goal, is to pay attention to the people who are interested in us.
So as we talk about the people that are interested, we know that our population is shifting. Demographic shifts here and everywhere have impacted the media industry. It's impacted the way we cover stories across a diverse landscape and who gets to tell those stories in newsrooms. These are issues to be considered. What are your thoughts?
Well, for us, news is still number one. It's where our money goes. It's where we spend the most time. It's crucial. It's we never go backwards on it. We always go forwards on it in terms of the commitment, much as I've watched you do and listened to you do. It's the local news appetite is large, and with diminishing efforts with competitors, that makes it even more important that we continue to commit to that. And that's where our efforts go. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, traditional TV is certainly not prevalent like it was, but it is still very much needed, very much used. Social media, digital, very important to us. We have a vice president of our digital efforts, strategic planning for digital, Kingsley Kelly, who came from a traditional background of broadcasting and has taken us into much more current times in terms of the life of digital, and certainly social media for all our viewers. And the good news is that network TV is still doing extremely well. Now, we affiliate with NBC, but we do a lot of our own programming as well. If you're watching at all, you'll see a lot of efforts towards elections, towards anything that is in a major way affecting the bulk of our viewers. And then we still have viewers out in rural areas that get only us, believe it or not, through the microwave that was built throughout our area, kind of like JPR, so that people in bigger cities can get us and people in very rural areas can get us. And we still have a lot of people who see us via antenna, where you can actually get television, some 30-plus channels, at no charge, absolutely free. And a lot of people don't realize that, but we're educating them.
Are you kidding me? People can still get television via antenna?
Okay, here we have one to educate, absolutely. And I'll be happy to bring one to your house if you don't have an antenna.
Okay, so let's move from the antenna to the future, social media. How has what we used to call user-generated content that scared everyone to death? now it is the platform where so many people get their news, especially younger folks. So how has social media impacted your work?
Again, in a huge way, and that's why the hiring of Kingsley Kelly that I mentioned before, and why the commitment of the general manager, Bob Wise, are so important, because we are talking and communicating and with those people every day. And those numbers have gone up and up and up, and we're very, very proud to be communicating not only with the older market, but the younger market.
Well, one of the challenges that we have now in media is disinformation and misinformation, and it's tough to figure out what to trust and who to trust. And trust is huge. It's part of the currency of media, and it has been as long as there has been media, but it's been eroded because of so much misinformation and disinformation. How do you deal with that?
Trust but verify. And we approach social media the same way we have over-the-air television for years and years and years, and that is to check your sources. We don't take any of it lightly. And that, I think that's our primary goal, is to make sure that the news that we deliver is absolutely accurate and can be trusted. And that's not easy, but it's worth it. I get about the same number of phone calls saying, you're too strong on the right, as I do, you're too strong on the left. Well, we're neither and never have been. And we're proud of that, and we don't change that. And if you don't want to check sources, then don't work here.
Well, you can't make everyone happy.
No, you cannot. But if it's about the same amount hate you as love you, you're okay, I guess.
You're right there, and you're doing something right.
Right.
So there's been a consolidation of media nationally, and national politics have influenced local media as well. How has that impacted your work in this region?
It makes it harder. I still have buddies across the nation that are running small markets and have similar philosophies to ours, and it's always wonderful to talk with them. If you look at that list for the award I just received, people like me were few and far between in that 600-person audience, but it does still exist, and it has become a much closer group, like so many industries, in terms of staying in business, moving ahead in business, being a product people want. And it's been interesting the last couple of years. For instance, when Channel 10 gave up their local news, that wasn't something that made us happy at all. The competition is good for us, and we've always respected that station very much. Yes, it can help us in terms of viewership. We did have ratings spike after that happened. But we want to see as much news in this area as possible, whether it's JPR or newspaper or radio or television. So I hear a bell ringing. I think I'm supposed to shut up.
I wish we had more time.
Thank
Congratulations
you, Mike.
Again, Patsy.
Thanks so much. And good luck to you guys. You do a wonderful job.
Thanks so much. My guest was Patsy Smullen. She's president and owner of KOBI-TV NBC5 and KOTI-TV NBC2. She was recently honored for her extraordinary lifetime achievements by the Library of American Broadcasting Foundation with a Giant in Broadcasting Award.